Well, hello everyone. It's Stunt Granny Audio, I think 82, something like that.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, and don't adjust your ears or whatever. this is Jeremy, and the other person laughing and agreeing is Eric Nelson.
I do agree that this is Jeremy. What's up, man?
I don't know. It's really odd doing this because the last time I did one of these was with Kevin, and he actually, like, he played the host part, and that was the last one I've done in, like, a month and a half. And then as we were talking about earlier today, this is the first one we've done together in
months. Oh, absolutely months. No, it's, like you said earlier on IM, it's the asshole edition of Stunt Granny Audio.
Yeah.
It's a long time coming, friends.
And the last asshole edition was the last one we did together.
Yep. That's sad and awesome.
Well, life gets in the way sometimes. So,
yep.
And now that shit's over with.
That's breathe a sigh of relief, buddy.
Yeah, well, almost done, but for the most part, everything's done.
Right, that's good.
So,
who the fuck is this?
What's that?
Sorry, I'm doing laundry. There's a stray sock in there. It's too bad I'm silk stocking.
Well, at least it's not a crusty sock.
Yeah, seriously. A crusty brand sock from The Simpsons?
That's not what I was implying, actually.
No.
But, hey, when you run out of Kleenex, you find the next closest thing. It could
be
a dirty pair of jeans. So, all right.
The best part about using those is that you can use them for days.
Well, let's use the pockets, and that just gets kind of gross.
Oh, my God.
First it's like sandpaper, and then it's like wet sandpaper.
You have any change? I don't want to reach.
I don't know, and I don't care. Plus, you can just stand up and like jingle your pockets, and you don't hear anything. And you're like, haha, fooled you.
Good.
Of course, going to a vending machine with that stuff and like just constantly trying to get the coin down the slot would be kind of difficult.
The
poor dumb bastard that's got to come in and fix it.
Yep.
God. All right. So enough about sperming in pockets.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't even remember. It was 2 minutes ago, but what are we starting off with?
We have to talk
about wrestling sooner or later.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, since this is Tuesday that we're recording this, last night was Monday Night Raw, so let's go ahead and just run down the events of Raw last night.
All right. There were actually, what, three big storylines going through the show, I figure?
Okay.
You've got the whole DX thing, which kind of encompasses CM Punk and Big Show and Miz, which I guess Big Show and Miz could be its own little, like, 3.5 story.
Right.
You've got the Bret Hart, John Cena, Vince McMahon thing, and then the Randy Orton Legacy Sheamus deal.
Sure.
Like usual, Raw has streamlined itself and has put on an actually decent show, which they do every time this time of year.
Get ready for the stink-a-thon. Here come Backlash, and in the meantime, enjoy what they're giving us for the time being.
What did you call it earlier today? It wasn't Backlash.
I called it Rehash.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're going to get the same main event and everything, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I don't understand how they... what the business model is to where you're charging people to watch almost the exact same pay-per-view event for less money.
Right.
And for none of the grandeur and importance, you know? I mean, what they label, like, WrestleMania as?
Yeah, the
difference
between WrestleMania at, the granddaddy of them all, or the showcase of the immortals. Yeah, hold that at the Houston Astrodome or, you know, or the University of Phoenix Dome. Or whatever the fuck it is, and then hold Rehash at the Target Center in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I was going to say the Saddle Dome. That's actually what? A regular just arena, but they just call it a dome.
Right.
I believe so, at least. Yeah. But, all right, so I guess I don't know which one to really start with because, and this is a compliment to them, they're all equal and they're all important, really. So
the top of the show was Sheamus beating Christian, which... You know, of course, the WWE champion beats the ECW champion, which, as I said on the Stunt Granny Forum last night in the, for a while, one-man Raw thread until Maurer and then Dusty chimed in. Is it supposed to make me feel better about ECW closing the fact that Christian, the ECW champion and 11-year veteran of WWE, give or take a couple of years while he was gone, totally lost cleanly to young, pasty Sheamus? Like, is it supposed to ease my pain? Like, okay, it's not so bad that ECW is gone because their champion sucks.
I actually didn't mind Sheamus winning. I just thought it was a strange occurrence. I mean,
well, you know what? If you're okay, two things that go along with this. If you're going to say, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, that your ECW wrestlers are all going to become free agents, and since one of them is going to wrestle Sheamus anyway, why not somebody like a Yoshitatsu or something? Like that?
You know? Well, they can't do Yoshi because that motherfucker actually beat his ass up for real. He's already done it once.
That was my joke number two. And we'll get into this much, much later, but if they want to start playing on reality-based storylines, that would be a good place to start.
Yeah.
How Ross started, and then it followed with... And then we just follow up talking about how there's trouble in Legacy, and now it's spilling over, and Sheamus is getting involved. Oh, boy.
Well, all right. Is it just me, or is it obvious that Sheamus and Cody are in cahoots?
Oh, and, probably, yeah.
I mean, but most of the time they'd at least touch on it. I mean, with a and this is a Michael Cole bash because it's easy, but a competent announcer would actually sit there and say, you know, that's the second time something like this has happened between the two.
Yep, it happened.
And if you notice, and both times it was Cody Rhodes, and he never actually did anything to Sheamus.
Right.
There were threats, and, you know, he did the posturing and all that, but he never actually did anything.
Right.
And in the wrestling world, doesn't that mean they're working together? I mean...
Yeah, it should. That's good. That's good storytelling right there. That's good foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's good storytelling, but then when the narrator's a fucking idiot...
Oh, right. Yeah, there's that too, isn't there?
Yeah, and can't even get... I mean, not even say, oh my God, are they in cahoots? I mean, don't be... I mean, so frank about it, but go, you know, that's a little strange. Like,
uh-huh.
What's going on with Sheamus and Cody? So, but going to the Legacy part with them having trouble, I love the line. It was Cody looking at Ted, and Ted just goes, yeah, I'm better than you, or something like that. And Cody goes, what, you think you're better than me? Here we go again. Is this because of your movie? You think you're better than me because of your movie? Now, remember, it's a straight-to-DVD movie produced by WWE Films.
Right.
That didn't do very well on the DVD charts.
Hell no.
And Ted goes, well, yeah. I don't know why I found that so funny, but it was just so matter of fact, like, yeah, my straight-to-DVD career is taking off, so fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, boy.
I guess we'll see how much more his career springboards when he inducts his dad into the Hall of Fame. And give a rousing speech like Cody did. Cody, that should have been a star-making speech right there if it weren't for the fact that Cody looks like I could put him in my back pocket.
Was I explaining to you...
And then you give Ted DiBiase the chance to star in a shitty movie that no one watched. And now he's going to go out there in front of God and everybody and give the most wooden speech ever.
Well, the funny thing, though, is that movie didn't actually get destroyed.
Okay.
The reviews for it didn't destroy it, which I thought was very odd. Because it looks like a hunk of shit, and he looks as stiff as can be. So,
well, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, if a fucking DVD gets pressed in the plant and no one's there to watch it, then fuck it.
True. Real quick, I finally got to see 12 Rounds, the John Cena movie.
Yeah, is that the one where he plays the cop that steals his girlfriend and then he has to get revenge?
No. It's not revenge. He's put through the motions. Sorry. He's being put through all these different tests to free his girlfriend. But then the twist is the guy doesn't have his girlfriend at the end, and she's... So they fall out of an exploding helicopter. WWE loves exploding helicopter movies. Because of the end of The Condemned, which I will argue anybody is a solid action movie.
Okay.
It ends with Steve Austin running 230 miles to get to this helicopter and just so happens to have expert aim to blow it up with his... I mean, I know I just said that, but, you know, it was a really dumb ending.
I think I said before that... is there a helicopter that involved?
Yeah, and then the helicopter blows up. Well, then at the end of 12 rounds, the guy, him, he's fighting the guy in a helicopter. The helicopter starts going down the crash, and they jump out of the helicopter into a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, the house they lived in blew up. So the wife, after going through all this, goes, I just want to go home. And Cena looks at her and goes, well, about the house. Dun, dun, there go the credits. That's how the fucking movie ends.
Ba, 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 da, ba.
Oh, it would have been better if Porky Pig would have just popped out and did the whole, you know,
sign off. That's all, folks.
Yeah.
Roman Eller could have.
What the hell? How do I even say his name? I don't care.
Roman Plan.
He made Driven, so fuck him.
I don't know.
No. That actually would have been really cool.
No, I think I said this before on audios, though. I think Vince scripts stuff like this because he's afraid that it will actually happen to him someday. Like, his limo has blown up on TV. Somebody has rigged the stage to fall apart on him and lighting rigs fall on him. helicopters, like if he ever flies in a helicopter, I'm sure he does, you know, it explodes in midair. All this shit, seriously, even shit like his daughter and Teddy Long both being kidnapped by the Undertaker in a limo. He did the same fucking thing in No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan got kidnapped while he was in a limo. I really seriously think, and, you know, it's been documented in many, many different ways that Vince takes out his frustrations on people and this and that via angles in wrestling. I think that he's living out all of his greatest fears in life through wrestling and scripting movies. Seriously.
No, I'm laughing because you're right. I can definitely see this. Wow.
I've just diagnosed Vince McMahon in 2 minutes.
Wow, all based on the way he scripts his movies and angles.
Yep.
Wow, what a weird psychological profile that guy's got to have. I mean, if you really broke it down, just...
Mm-hmm. Imagine, what a freak.
So what were we talking about?
We were talking about Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we got into the Marine.
Oh, that's... So what
we've got, essentially, is... we're on our way to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, and Sheamus is putting his belt on the line against five other guys. One of them is Randy Orton. One of them is Ted DiBiase. The other ones all have other shit going on, like Kofi.
Triple H just got something else going on.
Sure. Well, he just did, but he's not really affiliated with the whole Randy Orton Sheamus thing.
Yeah, yeah.
John Cena is freaking out about Batista and Bret Hart and Vince McMahon, and Kofi Kingston doesn't stand a fucking chance. So there you go. So, I mean, all signs point to Randy Orton leaves the Elimination Chamber with the world title. Or Sheamus does.
I'm thinking Sheamus does somehow. All right, in Dusty and I's little fantasy booking we did,
yeah.
I had it to where Sheamus was taking on, well, I'm sorry, Dusty and I argued it out to where Cena would take on, no, someone was taking on Sheamus. I think Randy Orton maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then Triple H and Shawn Michaels were going to play it, which is where it could lead with the Shawn Michaels thing coming up.
Yeah.
And then, I'd have to go back and look. I can't remember what other stuff.
Like I also said in the thread on the Stunt Granny forum, will the Mega Powers explode at WrestleMania 26?
But and the reasoning behind Triple H and Shawn Michaels was that they've had matches, but they've never had a match at WrestleMania.
Right.
So, and it would be nice to get a good Triple H match that didn't include The Rock or somebody else that essentially carries him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say somebody else that we can't talk about anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. So, wait a minute, that's right, we don't have those rules anymore. But that's exactly it. So, where it's not somebody else carrying him to a good match. Wait a minute, I take that back. To where somebody else is carrying him to a good match. But anyways, back to Legacy real quick. The one thing I did figure out with why Cody Rhodes looks so weird, he doesn't wear knee pads.
Yep, he looks like a little boy running around in stocking feet.
Yep. And I don't know what occurred to me. Oh, it was seeing Triple H a few weeks ago walk away when he had his knee pads down around his ankles.
Uh-huh.
And he had weird spindly legs just like Cody Rhodes did. And I was like, that's it. Yeah, I remember texted Kevin or I hit him up on Messenger as soon as I got in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Just ranting. I know what, I figured out Cody Rhodes finally. So,
That's awesome when you got a guy like Triple H who wears his knee pads. If you catch him wearing his knee pads like that, it's like all these old leathery pro wrestlers that have bad knees and shit, so they're all saggy and whatever. It just looks disgusting. There should be, like back when John Laurinaitis instituted the dress code that went for everybody except John Cena, there should be a rule.
Yeah.
Kevin Dunn should pass down a law that if you're going to appear on camera, you have got to wear knee pads. And not only that, but your shirt can't go so low that people wonder whether or not you're wearing your trunks.
Uh-huh.
That happens way
too
often.
Exactly. And if you're Jillian Hall, you have to wear a bag on your head.
That's
another nice implement.
And if you're Maurice, you have to wear me on your head.
I was reading some site. I don't remember what message board it was.
Uh-huh.
Some bitch. They may not be a nice, perfectly nice person, but this bitch was complaining because Maurice looked fake and she had extensions and her tits were... I was like, shut the fuck up. You're probably some hog who's jealous because you're never going to look like that. So don't harsh everybody else's buzz because you will never, ever get close to looking like that.
Yeah.
Shut up, man.
Together like that, whatever. I'd fuck Frankenstein if it looked like Maurice, trust me.
Yeah. Okay, so the extensions, you pull her hair a little too hard, they come out. Big fucking deal. You grab onto the real stuff and keep on going. Who cares?
Right.
Just shut up. It's actually frustrated, dummy. Anyways, but then they had Cody Rhodes beating Randy Orton, and then the whole thing with Sheamus. So the odd part about this whole thing is people are still cheering for Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
When he walked in Monday, you heard the crowd pop.
Yep.
So I mean, not a huge pop, mind you, but more so than just for Bret Hart. So
yeah, it was a big reaction. And a good portion of it were cheers.
Yeah, and the same thing with the Royal Rumble, too. He was getting cheers. So.
Oh, yeah. And as I've said before, he is one of the few characters on Raw right now that is a developed enough character that after, he's been around for 8 years at this point, people have gotten to know Randy Orton. That goes a long way in whether or not somebody gets cheered or booed or even gets a reaction.
Yeah.
He's a fully developed character. And they have not explored him being a babyface, really, since, I don't know.
Well, they tried, but they did it horribly way back then.
405, yeah. Oh, my God. I had the misfortune of seeing him defend the world title twice as a babyface in 04. Ugh. It was bad. It left. I mean, those Raws ended so flat back then.
Yeah.
But, maybe now it's time. Okay, I don't want to get into the big discussion again because I do this, every fucking week. But maybe it's time to turn Orton.
I don't see how they can't. I mean, unless he starts attacking babies or something. I mean, it's kids programming. I mean, they want you to believe that.
Yeah.
So the kids are starting to cheer Randy Orton. I mean,
maybe, yeah.
If that's the case, then you got to turn him. So
yeah, he might be the dude that kids want to be like nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. Or is he with? I mean, and I know Kevin always does his oh my God, Art of Wrestling stuff.
Yep.
And he always has the gas. Maybe the gas mask thing is a cool thing for the teen kids.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could ask
the kids are into
Bishop, but I mean, after Jeff Hardy took off, the closest guy that could have had to appeal to teens would have been CM Punk.
Yeah.
And they've done an excellent job of making sure no one's going to like him. So, But then, all right, we're spending too much time on that one thing.
We can actually segue into stories 2 and then 3.5 if we want to, based on what you just said, CM Punk. We had DX lose the unified tag team belts last night to Miz and Big Show,
mm-hmm.
or Show Miz, which is silly but awesome.
I just liked how they named the team.
Yes.
It was called Miz Show, and he looks and he's like, no, it's Show Miz. And then I don't know if it was done because they wanted to show they were a team, but because Miz didn't look scared at all. But he goes, hey, that's cool, and just walked off.
They had just, a few seconds earlier, Show was like, Miz treats me like a friend. He treats me like an equal. And then they made a quick business decision, and that was it. That's cool.
But I don't know.
Beginning to their team, that's fantastic that they're establishing them as, you know, potential equals.
Okay, but I'm going to take the opposite view. Did they do that on purpose, or was that just because it was clearly a live bit because Miz messed up his line and they didn't edit it out? So did Miz blow the line when he should have been like, well, okay, whatever, you know, and just walked off, or was it, yeah, whatever, cool, and just went along with it?
Either way, it was either a well-scripted line or a very happy accident.
Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much describes Miz's career so far.
Happy accident.
Yeah. Dude, listen to those old audio shows we used to do.
Oh,
we destroyed him. And now he's one of the bright spots.
Where he wrote everything on his hand during that Diva competition.
Mm-hmm.
And he still couldn't get the shit right. He still got that one number wrong, even though it was written on his fucking hand.
Well, I hear politicians do the same thing and still get their shit wrong, so.
Yeah, right. What a bunch of retards. Oh.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Corpse. But no, so they finally got the belt off of DX, which is fine. They needed to.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seemed, and I talked to Dusty about this, it almost seemed like I was really hoping they would have given it to Punk and Gallows.
Uh-huh.
Because first, the Luke Gallows name's actually grown on me. It's not a horrible name.
No, it's not.
But then CM Punk, I mean, the crowds just don't like him, and it would have been really fun. I mean, pretty much to the Jericho level where he can go to both shows and incite the crowd to be really angry.
Sure.
I don't think Miz and Cho don't do that, though. So.
No, they don't. They don't make people so much angry as I think the sum of their parts does a better job of entertaining than the sum of Punk and Gallows. I really think that, I don't know the freaking Deacon as a character from a fucking hole in the ground. Maybe he was fine, maybe he wasn't. As the imposter Kane, he was nothing special. As Festus, he was fucking terrible, but it's what he was given. Maybe he's got the personality to go somewhere, and they really need to explore this whole Luke Gallows thing more.
Well, if you remember before
value goes, then I think they picked the right champion.
But if you remember, though, way back, he had that really excellent match with on SmackDown with The Undertaker, of all people, when he was the big retarded Festus.
Okay.
And then he got busted for the wellness policy and disappeared.
Right.
So it seemed like, I mean, and it was a good match. And I'm not going to say Undertaker carried him because, I don't know. That match with Rey Mysterio Rumble was really bad. So
it was not a world title match. It was kind of a junky little, like, whatever, 11-minute match.
It should have been a SmackDown match, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. So it seems like they've got something for him, but when he started talking, his voice was just kind of generic.
Uh-huh.
There was no, like, Punk's got something to him. Hell, even Sheamus with that goofy accent. He's getting better, of course.
Yep.
But even like Jeff Hardy, as bad as he was, his interviews were, at least it seemed legit. And trying to like something that brings you in a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
but when
he started talking
the other night,
it helps that once you realize that Jeff Hardy is just kind of a goon, like he's just a hillbilly who likes being on TV.
Yeah.
And it's like when he's like, I'm here on SmackDown! And it's like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
It's cool, that's fine, that's your personality, I'll accept that.
Mm-hmm. So, but again, it took Jeff Hardy how many years to finally get it right, so.
I'm
trying to, well, as I told you on Messenger about a certain someone, we'll get to in a little bit.
No,
I was telling Kevin this, I'm sorry, that as much shit as we give some people, we've been proven wrong. You know what? All right. Yeah, we were totally in the wrong. At the time, we didn't think it were, because that's how life works. But then at least some of them just go right back to where, cool, we get to rag the shit out of them again. Yeah, I was having the weirdest thought processes today, just about different, like that scaffold match thing. And then
that was awesome, though.
Yeah, and how that certain wrestler we're going to talk about in a little bit, we haven't ragged on him at all, because he's pretty much, like, kept his nose out of headlines and clean and all that.
Yeah.
But, so.
I don't know, though.
Yeah.
I I like The Miz and Show. I like it for another reason. Okay, Punk is the type of guy that can keep his heat without having a belt. You know, and mm-hmm. it'd be cool if he had a championship. That's fine, but whatever. That WWE likes him, so they're going to keep giving him stuff to do. They do like Miz. They do like Big Show. But I think they're just kind of trying this experiment where they've got these unified tag team belts. They've got four championships. Plus, Miz has his United States championship. Why not drape this guy in belts and just – he's already a cocky jackass. So why not just cover him in gold and make him look even more like an asshole than he already is?
True.
It's kind of like,
yeah.
But it's kind of like the RVD, except everybody loved RVD back in his ECW days.
True.
You know, when he was the TV champ and one-half – excuse me, three-fourths of the world tag team as he used to say.
And he would always cut in front of Sabu and just say – No. No one wants to see. You're all ugly and scarred, man. No. Put it over
right here.
Put it over here. Yeah.
Yep. They don't want to see some. They don't want to see some scarred up freak. No offense, Sabu.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
They don't want to see some toothless drug addict. Oh, no offense, Fonzie.
Yeah. God, just saying that. Just remembering that. What a shame.
Yeah.
They just didn't get that character at all in WWE. Hang on a second. All right.
All right.
Come here. Okay. I let the dog out, and I have no idea where she went. So, and I don't hear her anywhere, so I'm just yelling at her to get in the house. So, well, hang on a second. Seriously, I can't hear. I don't know where the hell she went. Hang on.
Mariah, let's go. Move it!
Okay, now I sound like a serial killer on the audio. That's good. All right. Here she comes. But anyways, no, I didn't mind. I'm actually curious to see SmackDown now with Big Show talking shit about Jericho and going over to SmackDown. I mean,
right, good point.
That was pretty fun. I mean, Jericho apparently likes to burn bridges with his tag team partners. So, all right. So yeah, so that's the half. But then yeah, but CM Punk.
Speaking,
I thought it would have been. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to bring this up. Despite the fact that Edge hasn't made any decision, and he won't until Elimination Chamber is over,
mm-hmm.
about who he wants to wrestle at WrestleMania, I'm really kind of surprised he wasn't on Raw last night.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he's so closely associated with SmackDown, though.
Yeah, oh, he is. He has been for 6 years now, or if,
yeah.
8 years
I mean,
now.
Seeing him on Raw at all, even when the Vicky Guerrero thing was weird. You know, when he gave Vicky the dump and all that stuff, it was just a strange thing, seeing him on Raw. So
that was like the most kick-ass part of the whole live sex celebration, and then the match with him and Ric Flair was like, wow, Edge is on Raw.
Right. I totally forgot about all that.
Just for that short period of time that he was on Raw.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So, but you're right. I mean, he is a SmackDown wrestler, basically.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I know you said CM Punk didn't need the belt. I thought it could have enhanced the whole act, though. Be going, see what, and then he could have been just sitting there going, see what straight edge gets you.
Yeah, good point.
Just
yeah.
like add to his like God complex.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
So I don't know. That was the whole crux of wanting them to win. It would have established the, you know, his little cause a little bit more.
Sure.
And then he has probably the funniest line of the year so far was last night too. When he goes, Luke. Go get me Jared Subway guy.
Go get me Jared from Subway. That was fucking great. I even commented on that in my thread where I was like, I bet when CM Punk was training with Colt Cabana back in Steel Domain fucking 12 years ago or whatever it was, I guarantee you he never thought he would utter those words on live national television. Go get me Jared from Subway.
In a serious fashion, too. I mean, we all remember the Cabana Punk team-ups, like the celebrations and all that.
Uh-huh.
That would have been Cabana's line about something.
Yeah.
So,
dude, seriously.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
He sold it perfectly. I mean,
yep.
But the other part of this whole thing, and it's the bigger picture one, is the whole DX. I mean, really the Shawn Michaels aspect of it, obviously, because... He's becoming more and more obsessed with getting back to The Undertaker and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So much so that he – and this shows just how far-reaching Teddy Long is. people actually cared and were shocked when he got super kicked last night.
Yeah, dude, I love the guy. So do a lot of people do. He is great. I think I said this on my thread, too, or I said it to somebody. They obviously, WWE obviously loves Teddy Long, too, because they always give him stuff to do. They always give him some sort of acting part. And he just, for a guy who was just a referee, and then he managed Doom and the Skyscrapers when he didn't have front teeth in his mouth.
Oh, God.
He ended up being a fucking great actor, like, in WWE, you know, in that realm.
Oh, yeah.
He's great at what he does, and people care about him for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just when I read that he got super kicked, because I missed the show live last night. So I read that he got super kicked, and I was like, aw. And then just hearing the crowd stunned silence, like, oh. And you just see him laying there in the background. It was great.
Yeah.
And then Shawn, and one quick critique of Shawn Michaels, he has to cut his hair. Not shave it, mind you. He needs to cut it short.
Okay.
Because the longer he gets, the worse it looks. I mean, you can, oh my God, it's horribly thin. And I'm bald, so I mean, I know how this works. So cut it short so that it doesn't have the weight pulling it down to make it look like crap.
Yeah.
Ugh. Because when he got on the ropes to give the elbow to Miz, I believe it was, and he leaned over, you could see the patches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's bad. Just when you said that, I could just imagine, like, an instant replay, like, in slow motion of him flying off the ropes with an elbow with his wispy-ass hair waving in the wind, like, two or three strands at a time.
Yeah, there's two pieces of hair moving.
Yeah, it might be. I know he's still in sexy boy mode, but, yeah, eventually he's going to have to grow up and cut his hair.
Yeah, but even the sexy boy mode, remember, whenever he would be like, well, maybe this is why, he would be like the antagonistic Michaels. He had shorter hair, and it made him look like more of a jerk. So, and I know that's probably not what they're going for, but he's acting like one. So,
Yeah. Well, but, that's funny too, because it seems like this time of year, ever since his match against McMahon at WrestleMania 22, this time of year is when he starts to heal it up a little bit and he starts to act like a jerk. Mm-hmm. You know, and it started with McMahon saying, "I want the old Shawn Michaels back." And then he did that, and then he had to wrestle Michael or John Cena when Hunter hurt himself. So he had to heal it up a little bit there, too. He had to do it again to keep sympathy on Ric Flair. He did it again, the whole light versus dark thing.
And that was so good, that build-up last year, too.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So now he's doing it again, and everybody's lying in his wake, whether it's Hunter or whatever, Teddy Long. Mm-hmm. Or, now here's my thought. Let's say they do end up going to the Michael's Undertaker thing at WrestleMania. I think I texted this to my buddy Scotto. I think I put it on the thread too. So anyway, follow along if I already wrote it somewhere else. But so Michaels walks away on Raw and he's walking down the hall off into the sunset like John Wayne. And the announcer's like, "What? Where's he going?" I'm thinking they tease that he'll come back at Elimination Chamber and make some sort of big announcement. And they're going to speculate that he's retiring. He said he was done. It's over. Whatever. He's going to announce his retirement. Then he comes out, and he maybe even says that at Elimination Chamber. But then via some misdirection play, like somebody comes out, like Hunter comes out to talk sense into him. Or, you know, the lights go out and the Undertaker shit flashes or something like that. Somehow or other, Michaels ends up underneath the ring before the SmackDown Elimination Chamber matchup. And then comes up through the ring at the end and costs Undertaker the belt. That's my theory. That's a possibility, anyway.
Okay, well, since we're going with this, here's my thing. Remember last year, Edge got in the world title one? He wasn't supposed to. He won the Raw one when he wasn't supposed to.
Right.
Why not do the exact same thing? I'm trying to get the WWE site real quick to see, like, which one of the cannon fodder he can take out. Because remember, last year it was Kofi, and everyone was sitting there going, "Why the hell is Kofi Kingston in this match?" And then it became clear when, you know, Edge came out and took him out and then ended up winning the belt after losing it earlier in the night.
Oh, the first person I thought of was over on SmackDown, R-Truth.
Nope. Damn it. Is that who's in it?
Yeah, I mean, what fucking business does R-Truth have being in a world title match?
Yeah, well, good. WWE has advertisements and you can't turn the volume off. Nice.
Oh, great.
No, that's good. Technological age is wonderful.
Yeah, it looks like I'll be going to ProWrestling.net or ProWrestlingTorch.com on my news.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, if he's in it, yeah, fuck him. He'll be the guy that gets eliminated. Who gives a shit?
Uh-huh.
And so that makes sense that it would be like, you know what, Michaels does the same thing and gets in there and ends up winning the belt somehow. And, you know, or another way around it is they'd try it again. He'd try it, but this time they wouldn't start the match like they did last time.
Uh-huh.
Instead of like, you know, they shut it and they're like, well, I guess Edge is in it now. Because, I mean, Edge had the Vicky Guerrero backup, so they could play a part of it. So,
yep.
But that was just mine. And then he gets in there and wins it, and then Undertaker wants to face him again, and he ends up losing again. Because I just don't see the Undertaker. It's almost like he's that big of a – I mean, I hate saying it with that, but he's almost that big of a mark for himself that he doesn't want this to end.
Right, yeah.
And
I don't want it to end. I don't want the streak to end.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that one, to be honest. I mean, I would rather it didn't. It's interesting. So,
it's like I said, nothing is sacred in pro wrestling. Why not give one guy something? And the fans, give it to the fans, too. Do it for the fans. Do something for the fans for a change. It would just be cool to say that professional wrestling had some sort of worked legacy.
Mm-hmm.
16 world titles or fucking this or that or, you know, this guy's in the Royal Rumble this long, whatever. Doesn't really amount to much, but, you know, for some reason, this is, like, the thing. It kind of just, like, seemed, it was almost a coincidence at one point, and then they turned it into an angle, and it's like, you know, that's awesome now. It's cool that somebody is, you know, never lost to WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, he won, like, one match by DQ or something like that, so
yeah,
like, whatever.
Yeah, Giant Gonzalez, yep.
Yeah, so.
But it's like, why take a shit on something that they have worked so hard to make so important?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just leave it? Just leave it be.
Yeah. And he's got to be getting up there in age anyways, so it's not like this is going to be a whole lot of, there won't be too many more WrestleManias. So,
he's dead.
You know.
He's dead. It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. That's going to be one of the more awkward, like, Hall of Fame speeches.
Yeah, really.
Because, I mean, obviously he'll be in there, but how is he going to do that?
Oh, I figure, he seems like the type of guy that once he's done wrestling, that he'll be okay with just dropping character, basically.
Yeah, it'd be weird. It would honestly be really weird.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, I'd like to see Paul Bearer induct him. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, because that's what made him famous, really. So
there's no better person than, and you can argue somebody like Kane. Or
yeah, that would be the only other person I could think of.
Yeah, but there's no better person than Paul Bearer to induct him when it happens.
Let's see.
Let's see. I don't know. Since you mentioned Edge, though, actually, we're over here booking possible world title matches with Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, and that's why I don't think it's going to be for the world title. This is why. We're leaving Edge out of everything. It's like, is Randy Orton going to wrestle Sheamus? Is Shawn Michaels going to wrestle The Undertaker? Are these going to be the title matches? And then it's like, what's Edge going to do? Like, do like Hacksaw Duggan did on fucking Thunder, dig through the trash and find the TV title. Edge is going to be like, what the ECW? What is this?
Actually, isn't that the how ROH is doing their TV title?
I don't know. When Bobby Dempsey digs through the garbage and finds something to eat, is that what they call the TV title?
You know, I was watching their show, and I saw someone got attacked on Bobby Dempsey. Kevin Steen, who apparently now Steve Corino is his manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Kevin Steen attacked somebody. I can't remember. Oh, it was Sugarfoot? Alex Payne?
All right.
The guy that was walking around during WrestleMania 24, or was it 26, whatever it was, trying to get people to notice him.
That's right. The guy who claims to be from Des Moines, Iowa. I've never fucking heard of the guy in my life. I've been to a million indie shows around here, never seen Sugarfoot Alex Payne, you lying fucker.
Yeah, he attacked him.
I just ruined my chance to get an interview with him.
Yeah, they, on the show... I don't know what the hell I was talking about, so,
whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't want to talk about ROH anyways. So
that's cool. We still need to talk about Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, or Shawn, whatever. I'm sorry, I'm 13 years in the past.
John Cena, that's it.
John Cena, Batista. All right,
John Cena, all right. The whole thing with John Cena, whatever. He overacts. Whatever. It's John Cena. It's just time to accept how bad he is. And
okay,
just go with it.
Just quickly, last week's promo I thought was good. This week's promo was not good.
Mm-hmm.
This week's was one of those fucking, I'll just read the Applebee's menu type of promos. only until the end when he started walking up the ramp, and that was okay. That wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But you got one more person to tell. Fucker.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole rest of that, it was trite, and it was fucking full of cheap pops, and it was bad.
Yeah. But it's typical John Cena. And at least they brought up the idea or the topic, you know. Well, anyway, Dave attacked me. What the hell? Which I thought was actually really, really strange because, you know, most of the time just be like, you know, I'll deal with him later and go on to something else.
Yep.
The McMahon comes out, and he's fine. He was actually making me laugh a little bit the way he was acting, just, I'm the alpha male and all this stuff. That was just kind of funny.
He was great, I thought.
Yeah.
All garish orange you wear and all this shit. I thought he did a great job last night.
And then the Crypt Keeper comes out and attacks Vince McMahon. And then I don't want to see this match. Maybe 10 years ago I wanted to see this. I don't want to see this now. Bret Hart is on par with Ric Flair as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
He's terrible. He can't do anything. Dude, he was pulling wires out of a box and fell over.
And he fell over. Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I wasn't real sold on his punches when he was trying to punch McMahon, but.
No, because if you saw what he was doing, he was hitting them with his wrist.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not making a stroke joke, don't get me wrong. He doesn't look right, and he doesn't act right. So when he's throwing those punches, I don't know if he was doing that on purpose. Or if it's just because his stroke has fucked him up that bad.
Yeah, maybe.
That he can't throw him. I mean,
I don't know. I guess I kind of saw past that. And I agree that him falling over while trying to pull over a box was kind of pathetic. But I thought it was cool that he was tearing up the set like he did at Survivor Series. And some of the other stuff, just the intensity that he brought, I thought he did anyway. I thought it was a good, energetic way to end the show, and it was a lot of tension, and of course McMahon backing up the ramp, and I mean no, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good. I thought the Bret McMahon part was the best part of the segment because John Cena sucked.
Really,
I want to see this match.
See, I want nothing to do with it. I really think it's going to be Ric Flair at the end bat, and I honestly. Bret Hart's gained so much around the middle that,
yeah,
and he's older. I mean, obviously it's going to happen. I mean, unless you're Vince McMahon, wink, wink. And I just, part of me is honestly like, is this guy going to stroke out again? Because he doesn't look to be in shape. I mean, is he in his 50s by now?
Oh yeah, I don't know how far into him, but he's definitely 50.
Okay. And if he wouldn't have gotten the concussion with Goldberg, if he wouldn't have had the stroke, he probably would be in better shape. I'll give him that. I think he'd be in better shape.
Uh-huh.
But just seeing him perform, I'm like, he's slow. I don't know if I want to see him taking bumps just because of his history.
Right.
And I don't know, and that's weird for me that I even give a fuck, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if it improves and he gets better, he gets in better shape as it goes on, then honestly, I'll change my mind. But as it stands right now, I really don't care to see it at all.
Part of it for me might be the curiosity factor, because unlike with Flair, I don't know for sure that Bret Hart has completely slowed down to the point where he can't like be one-fourth of a tag team match. So I want to watch it for that sake, too, just to see what actually happens.
Okay, well, all right. If it is a tag team match, I'm all for it. I have no problem with that. But if they're actually going to try and do a single thing, absolutely not.
Here's the thing. As far as I know, and as far as I think, and as far as I'll speculate, the original plan was to have a street fight with Brett and McMahon. Which makes sense because that means that there isn't really a whole lot of wrestling that needs to look crisp and excellently executed, if you will. It's just, you know, those two can go out and brawl, which is pretty much all McMahon can do anyway, all he's ever been able to do. But I think somebody just thought better of it and said, you know what, this just goes to show that neither John Cena nor Batista are going to go to WrestleMania and with their respective belts or challenging for their respective belts. I think they tried to make this like the biggest marquee match they possibly could by squeezing John Cena and Batista into a tag team match with those other two. That's the way it seems to me. So I don't know. I don't know if that makes it more watchable. You know, are we gonna watch Bret Hart get his ass beat by Batista for 10 minutes until he gets the hot tag to John Cena?
And is that the way he wants to come back? I think there's a definite pride issue there. That if he comes back, he wants to, but he wants to look good and he wants everything to go well. But at the same time, man, it's just he hasn't looked right. He hasn't acted right. Like he didn't act like he didn't act clear headed. It was always like he was really fuzzy, trying to remember what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, my uncle had multiple strokes, and it's always something you can have again. I don't know. Maybe that's why. It's not worth the risk. I mean, if they can come up with something like Bret Hart gets 5 minutes with Vince McMahon, but it doesn't really work in this case because McMahon can defend himself. So.
Right. Well, and then here's the shittiest part going back to making fun of Backlash being rehashed. What happens when we get the tag team match, John Cena and Bret Hart versus Batista and Shawn Michaels? Why do I keep thinking Shawn Michaels?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's just rolled off the tongue.
If there was a car in here, you would have heard the tire screeching like,
yeah.
What?
It's so easy to say his name in association with Bret Hart. I think that's my problem. Anyway.
Okay.
The tag match that I just speculated on with the right names happening at WrestleMania, what happens when the storyline continues and at Backlash we get two singles matches, one with John Cena and Batista, one with Vince McMahon and Bret Hart?
I think the way around it is they transition out of it. And Bret just goes, you know, no, seriously, Bret just goes after WrestleMania because he's only signed through WrestleMania.
Okay, that's true.
So he just comes out and goes, you know what? I got my revenge, and I proved my point.
Yeah.
And I'm done with this. And he gets the big ovation and walks off, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they could try – and then Cena can come out and go, you know what? My issue with Batista is not done yet. And it's like, you know, and he can give one of his impassioned speeches, like, you know, one more time, and all that sort of thing. That's how they –
I'm
going to
break your
body
in half. I'm going to drag you through hell on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Like it's like, hey, Dave, you didn't get the job done. Oh, fuck. Shut up.
I'm still walking.
Yeah.
I still got 2 feet.
But, yeah, so that's the major stuff coming out of Raw. I think we speculated more on what's going to happen than what actually did happen. And what did happen has been a positive so far. I would have liked to have seen somehow DX get eliminated first in that tag match.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, but I don't know how they could have done the follow-up, because, you know, they were arguing in the ring and all that stuff. So.
Right, yeah.
And the egos involved, no chance they were going to.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Let's see. Well,
let's transition over. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say we can stick with WWE news and just touch on these other two things. We talked about it earlier, Ted DiBiase being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year.
Yes. Not overdue. It's like, you know, it was one of those inevitable ones. So.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really cool because his theme song still holds up outside of him, you know, the whole money, money, money thing.
Right, yeah.
So when, you know, and him talking like, everybody's got a price.
Uh-huh.
And And they showed one of my favorite all-time bits of his, that little kid bouncing the basketball.
And he kicks it, yep.
I remember when I was little when that happened, I was fuming. I can't believe he did that. Why isn't someone coming out and telling him he's got to pay him anyway? He cheated. I'm sure my mom's like, oh, my God, my kid's retarded. But,
no, it worked. It worked like a charm, man.
Yeah, and then they showed that one kid with the Hulkamania shirt crying to his mom.
Yep,
I mean, it was awesome.
Great. Yeah. Just a fucking great character. Vince and WWE, they've got all these, like, prefab characters. And it's so awesome when the right person gets the right character. There could never, ever be another Mr. Perfect besides Kurt Hennig. Terry Taylor should learn how to fucking suck his own dick if he ever thinks that he could have been a Mr. Perfect. Fuck him. Never could there ever be another Million Dollar Man besides Ted DiBiase.
Well, it's funny you said that, because did you hear him sneak Kurt Hennig in there last night?
Oh, well, where
was
that?
He goes, DiBiase beat somebody, and what's his name? And he goes, take your money, Hammenegger.
No, that was Heenan.
No, I could have swore that was Heenan. It sounded, I'm sorry, it sounded just like Hennig.
Oh, no, that was Bobby Heenan.
Really?
I popped when I heard that. I was so happy. Yeah, take the money, Hammenegger. God, that was great.
But the funny thing is, they made it seem like he gave $100 to everybody. Virgil was always there to grab it.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. He just snuck it right out of his mouth.
Yeah. So they made him seem almost charitable, but he wasn't, because his man boy took everything back.
Yep, that's right.
And that was the great part about it, because he couldn't sully his hands with getting his own dirty ass money back. It was great.
It's the little shit like that, but seriously, nobody else could have pulled off that great character besides Ted DiBiase.
Nope.
And really, I don't even know that it's a great character so much as it was a great wrestler who made it a great character.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it just that was their version of Ric Flair, basically. That's how I always took it.
It's like a combination of Ric Flair and what Vince McMahon thought of himself, I think. And it's like how JBL was kind of like Vince McMahon, you know, in like 04, 05, 06.
That character his was, too.
Oh, dude, JBL.
Yeah, another one.
Great. But it's like, look at a few of the guys who came around when Ted DiBiase came around. You don't put, I know this is a stretch because he was so good at his character too, but you don't put Wayne Ferris in a fucking silvery tuxedo and call him the Million Dollar Man. You give him a blue jumpsuit and call him the Honky Tonk Man, because that's what Vince meant. Or who else was around back then? Like Rick Martel. You know, you get Rick Martel.
The model.
He's like a white bread baby face from the AWA. You know, you don't see this guy and think, you know, he'd make a great Million Dollar Man. Because if you put that character on him, he could have never pulled it off.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is definitely a good choice for the Hall of Fame, an obvious choice. Everyone always points to Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Either him or Hennig as the two guys, and no offense to the AWA world title, which doesn't mean jack shit. Because the fucking title itself just looks like a silver platter that you fucking serve tea on.
Yeah.
It's not a world title. It's a fucking hubcap. Those are the two guys that always get pointed at as the best wrestlers to never win the world title. And now they're both in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he never did, huh?
No.
I'm trying to think. Well, because it didn't count when Andre handed it over to him. So.
Right, yep.
The one complaint I have of that video, they never went into him actually winning an actual title. They showed pictures of him with IRS. But to me, it really, I don't know, it's almost like they should have had the video culminate with, well, and there's another gripe coming. It should have culminated with him, you know, and him winning an actual title. And then, you know, just whatever. Because it made it seem like, you know what, he sucked. Not that he sucked, but just that here's this guy that he just wanted to create his own belt. It didn't matter. Nothing else mattered. You know, they could have worked in, you know, and as his riches grew, they grew even richer when he captured his first tag team title or first WWE. They could even name it WWFE title. They don't have to say it was a tag team championship, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But then my other thing was they went in to talk about his son, which is fine because, you know, it's a good transition.
Yeah.
They showed it real quick. the very next segment, he gets his ass handed to him by John Cena.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
The timing was really poor on that one.
Yeah, it wasn't even a loss in a wrestling match. It was a fucking mauling outside the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and that's a small one because I'm sure kids don't care, but it just seemed odd. So
yeah, it was odd. Well, it could have been anybody else. It could have been Carlito. It didn't have to be the guy's son in the Hall of Fame.
Fuck him, too.
Here's my only other thought on Ted DiBiase in the Hall of Fame. He was either he was inducted. Fuck, now I can't remember. I remember all this shit. Either he was inducted or, oh, no. He got a special award at the Museum and Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa.
Yeah.
So he was there, and there was a mentally retarded person walking around the museum, got super excited that Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, was there, and tried to walk up to him and say something to him.
DiBiase just
brushed him off, walked right past him, just was like, thanks, kid. Just kept right on walking. Like the fucking kid didn't even exist.
Oh. Are you sure? Was it a kid or was it Virgil?
No. Virgil doesn't get the time of day from anybody. No, and the other thing worth mentioning is that Ted DiBiase has a huge head.
That was very evident by the video. And that one scene where he went to get the $1 million belt, I totally forgot he was dressed as a vampire for some reason.
Uh-huh, yep.
He looked like Bela Lugosi with that awful cape on and red tie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What? Yeah, that was odd.
Yep.
But yeah, so, you know, whatever. it's good. No, it's a good start because I know they're going to update. And then today they had a press conference to put in, how do you say his last name, Inoki? Is that right?
Oh, yeah, Antonio Inoki. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. So they have a press conference about him being the next one. So it's good because it's someone that's recognizable. So now, I don't know. I guess Stu Hart's not going to be in. So
I hope Inoki shows up to this one, considering he didn't come to Waterloo for that induction. Think you're too good for Iowa?
Probably, yeah.
Actually, he was in Cedar Rapids for a Clash of the Champions once. So, whatever. He's been to Iowa. That's his one. That was his pilgrimage to the Midwest.
Yeah. What was the other thing we were going to talk about with WWE? I totally forgot.
The new show, Next. NXT.
Oh, yes.
Whatever fucking yellow letter.
Right.
So, it's replacing ECW. Really about the only hint that they've given as to what it is, besides all the speculation that's been going on, is the little spot for it last night during Raw. They said, the season begins in 2 weeks. So it's like, what do you think they mean by the season? Like, how are they going to portray this? How are they going to, I don't know another word for it.
Well, I wasn't making myself, when we were talking about the Messenger, I wasn't making myself real clear what I expected of the show. But they could make, there is a way to get around, because it's basically going to be a reality thing where they follow the guys around.
Okay.
And there are certain ways to get around the kayfabe part of it. So, you know. Because I think it's going to be just like the Ultimate Fighter, which could be an interesting idea. So,
yeah, plenty of personalities here. That's for sure. Well, it depends on who they get, but you know, being professional wrestlers, they should be full of personality.
Yeah, should be. Yes, but
yeah, I don't know. I've had this crazy idea ever since I heard there was a new show with a new gimmick that maybe they would. I don't know. Grab some guys from developmental, grab some guys from the indies, and then keep a few guys on ECW who are just like, I don't know, they would you know, just have no future anywhere else. Have 12 guys, have like a 3-month season, and I was thinking of the season thing before they mentioned it. And then like every 3 months, have two guys get called up to the big shows. Have Teddy Long draft somebody, have a guest host bring somebody on, or, you know, like a somebody like a triple, I like the way this guy looks, bring him up or something like that. Or somebody's trying to start a stable and likes the way Joe Hennig wrestles. I don't know, something like that. And then they get replaced every 3 months with two other guys from developmental or wherever. Just use it as a training ground, something like between FCW and the big leagues where they know, okay, this guy's ready for TV. We'll put him on TV, but we'll make it look like he's still working his way up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and And really, you could even, and this is what I was discussing with you on the Messenger, is if they want to go as far as, like, if they want to build it. And I guess my model for this is the Ultimate Fighter, how they have them training, and then they finally have matches. That they can actually still have matches with the guys. Treat them as real. And just say, and to critique them, like, right in front of them on TV without it, I mean, exposing anything. They can say, right, you know, you lost because, and in the context of the match, make it seem like there should have been counters and reversals, and this is the move you should have done. Instead, you did this, and
that makes sense.
This is what cost you, or, you know, this slowed your momentum. That sort of thing. I think there's a way around that by doing it that way.
Yeah, basically saying all that stuff was a wink, wink toward the wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
You would have done this. We would be judging you better, which on TV plays off more as if you would have done this, you could have won that match or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I don't know if it works. I don't know if it would be believable, but it's, I don't know. It's worth a try. Not in a tough enough way to where they're, you know, they were saying, all right, you're going over in this and whatever else. That part obviously gets cut out. There's never a mention that the stuff's fake. It's just that, you know, to make it more sport-like, which I think is probably what they don't want, though.
Yeah, right. They should want that, but they probably
won't. So, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I just wish it wasn't called NXT, because that's just retarded. So.
Such a shame.
But then you can't name it something after a Nicolas Cage movie. So, you know, that's fine, because that movie stunk. So,
I don't know. Can we... 1, 2, 3, 4 TNA things. Can we talk about TNA in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I guess.
I think we need to do some quick hit stuff here. Right. Let's start with what Kevin already talked about in his Art of Wrestling last week.
Yes.
Ric Flair's terrible new T-shirt. As one of the comments on the bottom of on that page on TNA's shopping website, whatever the fuck it is, said. This looks like something that would be sold not on TNA's website, but at a flea market. To which I retorted, they're the same thing. To which Kevin commented, no, TNA doesn't have a whole bunch of pickup trucks outside. To which I currently retort, yeah, it does. That fucking Dust Bowl piece of shit company, you know they've got more broken down vehicles out in front of their arenas than any other company around right now. So don't give me that shit, Kevin.
You know the funny part about this is I was going to the Stunt Granny forum.
Uh-huh.
And I love that the link on our website,
uh-huh,
it links right back to that shirtless kid playing a guitar.
I did a Google image search for, like, white trash party or something. I swear to God. And that's what came up. And I'm like, that's fucking perfect.
The fucking kid. Oh, my God. God damn.
So anyway, it's just...
I'm sorry. That picture just makes me laugh every time I see it. Because that kid's not getting laid for a long time.
Yeah,
so.
No kidding. But, no, the shirt, it was made with a font that everybody's had on their computer since day one. It's a fucking circle inside a circle. It's a little arrow, and it's a saying that Ric Flair has never said before in his life.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. It's fucking terrible.
I don't know. It's, you and Kevin basically were all over it. It just bears mentioning. I don't have Kevin's post up in front of me, so I don't want to step on him, but the idea that Ric Flair's shirt, by last name alone, should never be black and white.
Yeah, good point.
It's generic and boring. I mean, he built an entire career of, you know, being over the top, flamboyant. I mean, you can put it that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And just that horrible male symbol, I mean...
I mean, first of all, even Holt for Swank's new T-shirt is an eye-popping six-color format.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, all plugs aside, but you're exactly right. I mean, yeah. I mean, garage bands have black and white T-shirts with basic fonts.
Uh-huh.
And by garage band, I mean the guys who are together for 4 weeks decide, hey, we're cool, get a T-shirt together, and then break up and have all these T-shirts left over. I mean,
yeah.
Not a guy who's been pretty much Mr. Wrestling for 20-whatever years. I mean, I've not always been wrestling longer than that, but as, you know, well-established, well-popular, grossly popular, all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like they just threw it together. I mean, even his WWE shirt, wasn't it purple and yellow or something like that? Purple and white?
I'm sure.
I think, or yellow or red and yellow something. I mean, it had color, and I'm trying to avoid the cliche of saying it had flair, but that's what I'm getting at.
No, you're right, though. That's...
Yeah, there's a pop to it. I mean, even his awful WCW shirts that were straight black, at least had a full color picture of the person.
Right.
You know, I mean, as bad as those were, at least there was some sort of, I don't know, they tried. They tried.
The four horsemen picture with, like, Flair, Arn, like, who the fuck was
Mongo and Benoit, wasn't it?
Mongo and Benoit, yeah. I was thinking Pillman for some reason, but yeah, like an actual photograph of those four giving the four horsemen symbol.
Yeah, ironed on.
Sure. Was ironed on. Was fucking better than this piece of shit that TNA is putting out.
I would wear that awful shirt outside in public instead of buying this Ric Flair shirt. I just would.
Yep.
So.
All right.
But,
we spent
anyway.
4 or 5 minutes on that shirt, but it was well worth it.
Kurt
Angle.
Let's just get back. Let's get to the one we really want to talk about. And then we're
Kurt
calling
Angle,
it a show.
Kurt Angle selling some prepackaged food product. I don't know anything about it other than it can't possibly taste as good as he says it does.
You know, I was honestly today.
Healthy.
What's that?
Not to mention it's the thing that he claims keeps him healthy.
Yeah. I was just, and I'm being dead serious, I was just thinking today, you know, all the shit we've given Kurt Angle over the years, calling him trash, everything. The last few months, he's kept himself out of, you know, he's pretty much been no fun. There's been nothing to talk about with him.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Kong, and that Kong, Jesus, Rocket Khan stuff. That ended, and it was really kind of boring the way it ended. It was like, well, shit, we were wrong. We were all over this guy, and, you know, it kind of blew up in our face a little bit, so, you know, whatever. And I was just thinking, wow, he really turned it around. You know, you don't hear all the stories about him, like, popping pills and doing this and that. You didn't hear the stories. But then... As soon as I think that, and I was going to mention it to Kevin today, all of a sudden Kevin messages me and goes, well, Eric's all over Kurt Angle again.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And I immediately see that he sent me a link for what he's hawking.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh no. So I was like, all right, let me see if Eric knows about it yet. I mean, if Eric's written anything. And there was already a post on Stunt Granny. I was like, oh my God.
I've never jumped on anything faster, and it's not even a bad story about him. Just Kevin sends me a message that says, you're the resident Angle hater around here. I fucking immediately went to stuntgranny.com, logged on, hit new post, and just started typing the first thing that came to mind. It was done in, like, probably 45 seconds. I don't know, 60 seconds. It was up.
So that's why you missed the obvious Karen Angle joke.
Yeah, the tuna. So. Yeah, that was watery Alfredo. That was good. I'm out of practice, obviously.
I saw that and I was like, oh my God, he didn't follow up with the obvious. So, but yeah, I don't know. I liked how you brought up Hulk Hogan's drinks and the Mama Joanna. It was all this crap stuff. Awful.
I should have put something down about Mean Gene's burgers and pizza.
Oh shit, that's right.
That would have been awesome. Oh, well, maybe next time.
Yeah.
Next time a wrestler signs a fucking licensing agreement for food, I'll make sure to mention Mean Gene's Pizza.
You got it. But Well, everyone can read the post and make your own assumptions, but
yep.
We babbled on too far, so we'll get to my other thing some other time. We'll see what happens this Thursday, and then
sure.
We can discuss it more, because I just don't want to talk about TNA.
No, that's fine. I'm
exhausted.
I do have one more thing to mention, but there's no real discussion to be had.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this on PWTorch.com as I was looking for other stories. The Human Tornado is retiring.
Yeah. Okay.
That sucks, dude. I love that fucking guy, and I've always said that if I ever had money, and if I could, there's any way, any fucking ridiculously unfeasible way for me to start a wrestling company, the couple of people that I would pick from fucking Jump Street would be Colt Cabana. I want Go Shiozaki because he's a Japanese guy who's awesome, and I want the Human Tornado. I know I could make money off of those three, among a couple others. But now he's going to retire, so that's sad. I just
There's nowhere for him to go, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's too skinny for WWE, and he's too...
Yeah.
TNA probably feels like they already have enough of these black people. We already had to bump the Pope for OJ. We can't afford to have all these other black people running around.
Yep.
Jesus. Fucking dirtball TNA. Anyway, all right. Sorry to bring it up.
Well,
Human Tornado,
yeah.
You're the man. You never listen to our show, but I love you anyway.
You never replied to our interview request, so eat a dick. How's that? I hope you rot in Target with Shane Douglas.
I hope you have fun grating Parmesan on salads with Just Incredible. Fucking Olive Garden.
Hopefully you don't go too far deep sea fishing with Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was fun. It's nice to get back in the saddle again after a year and whatever of absolute shit. Or absolute, as people who can enunciate will say it.
Yeah, whatever.
So, but, my friend, I'm going to take off. So we will get together again sometime. And then do one of these little shows. So hopefully everyone enjoyed it. If not, well, you sat through the whole thing, so too bad. So everyone have a good time. And remember, TNA's pay-per-view is Valentine's Day. It won't affect buy rates at all. I just want to let everybody know. So
good timing, TNA.
Yeah. Oh, bye, guys.
All right. Well, for Jeremy Mays, for the Human Tornado, and for all the rest of the Stunt Granny crew, this is Eric Nelson. This has been another Stunt Granny audio. Peace and chicken grease.